And a very good morning to you. I'm here with Marianne Taylor. She's a child sleep expert and she is here to give you advice because one of the most stressful things about having children is getting your life back in terms of getting to sleep through the night. Now, this can go on for years and guaranteed in your social circle is always someone who is not doing it on purpose but is annoying nevertheless by telling you how amazing their little one sleeps. 12 hours, put them down at 7, get up at 7, happy days. But that's not the case for all people and it has great effect on relationships, on work, because you're always tired and then irritable, not just with your partner, but with those around you because of your lack of sleep. So, Marianne Taylor, it's a very important job you do, isn't it?
Yes, hopefully I can help some people.
What are the most common issues you find in your experience?
So the most common sleep issues are multiple wake-ups during the night or maybe even one wake-up during the night for a substantial amount of time. Or toddlers can be notoriously difficult at bedtime. Settling at bedtime can be a bit of a battlefield. Feeding through the night where babies don't necessarily need feeds during the night. And a very common and tricky one is a very early wake up. A 5 a.m. wake up is a very common one and a difficult one.
There are some, not just in the Asian community, but in plenty of communities, who perhaps take a more relaxed attitude to when their babies go to sleep. So they'll keep them up, even toddlers, they'll keep them up, especially now at summer wedding season. So you're taking people, young kids to weddings and you're keeping them up and they're falling asleep on their mothers or fathers at like 9, 10 p.m. while you're still at the wedding. What are your thoughts on that about a lack of routine?
So I think it's about finding a balance and a balance that works both for you and your family setup and for your child. So there's got to be an element of compromise in that you can't always feel that you can't go to certain family events. But I think on a general basis, children, babies and children do better with a routine. It doesn't have to be an incredibly strict routine to the minute, but a sort of a regular pattern to their day. Babies and children, and in fact adults with sleep issues, it is a known fact that if you have a regular wake-up time and a regular bedtime, and for children that still need naps during the day, regular nap times and meal times, that almost helps to regulate their body clock to some degree, which really helps with the night's sleep.
But if you diverge from that, then how long does it take to bring it back on course? Because people often say, yes, you could spend months getting them into this routine and you could just diverge from it once and suddenly you're in trouble and it puts the baby's or toddler's routine or even young child's routine out of sync. Is it extreme to think that only on one occasion?
I think so. I think a night here and a night there, if there's a late night here and there, I don't think that's going to necessarily undo everything that you've achieved so far in terms of sleep. But it is more about getting back to a pattern once you've had. So if there's a weekend that has been an unsettled weekend in terms of sleep, then it's just being careful not to fall into a pattern, which then leads to sleep issues on an ongoing basis. So it is about pulling back in, getting back into the regular pattern. And that is tricky over the summer. Certainly the summer holidays can always cause a lot of sleep issues simply because it's not a regular routine. It's not nursery. There's no school. And that can affect children's sleep.
And you might end up yourself being more relaxed over the summer.
Yes. Inevitably, and the days are longer.
But you've got issues then in September, haven't
but
you?
But exactly. And you've got to take into consideration that just because it is summer and that there isn't the same sort of daily routine the next day, it doesn't mean that it won't affect your child's sleep. So I guess it's finding that balance as well and being away on holiday and being able to enjoy your holiday to some degree. But enjoying a holiday also means getting some kind of decent sleep as well. So it's that balance between trying to maintain some kind of framework to your child's day while still being able to have some semblance of what feels like a holiday.
So other than lacing their dinner with Fennigan, how do you deal with...
Don't do that.
How do you combat this time of year where it is still light at 9:30? You're trying to draw the curtains, the light is coming through, they get it. How do you do that?
Well, blackout
blinds. Because we're finding
blinds.
It really difficult.
Right.
In our house.
So blackout blinds are an absolute must for this time of day, this time of year. Make sure that the room is dark because it is going to be difficult, especially when you have a child who's very overstimulated by their surroundings. Making sure that the room environment is dark enough and conducive to sleep is really essential. Even though there might be bright light outside, making sure that it's clear for them that it is about bedtime. So blackout blinds are really important. And still maintaining a proper bedtime routine. I know it's tempting at 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and the kids are outside playing. You just want them to carry on playing for that little bit longer. But I would suggest that for somebody who has a child with sleep issues, to try and kind of move things a little bit earlier to avoid the sleep situation getting worse. So keep bedtime routine as consistent as possible. Use the blackout blinds, making the whole environment conducive to sleep as well, to help them settle, wind down to sleep. Also, at 5 a.m., 4, 5 a.m., which is a very common problem with a lot of children who wake up at this time and want to start their day, which is pretty ghastly, let's face it. Making sure also the blackout blinds are very important at this time because a chink of light at 5 o'clock in the morning can be enough to keep a child awake and to for them to assume that it is the start of their day. But also white noise in a room when the birds are tweeting at 5 o'clock in the morning also can be enough to waken a child fully at that time. So having some white noise in your child's room,
yeah.
Whether it's a fan, and a fan can operate to some degree as white noise, but also there
we
are lots
of... We have
a
radio on all night, actually. We have a non-BBC classical station on, which just plays really sweet classical music. And my wife actually pointed this out to me. The reason for that was so it drowned out the bird sound.
So
the music was more soothing than that.
Music is very soothing and relaxing. But from a sleep point of view, in terms of a constant background noise, to help with a transition, but white noise can be helpful in transitioning from one sleep cycle to the next when a child gets into an awakening in between their sleep cycles. And then it's hard often for them to wind back down into their next sleep cycle. A sort of a rough sounding constant like the sounds of a hairdryer or a vacuum cleaner are the best type of sounds to use to help a child transition from one sleep cycle to
sounds
the next.
Sounds of a vacuum cleaner?
I don't mean switch your vacuum cleaner on,
yeah,
or your hairdryer.
Yeah.
A lot of free apps that you can download with those sounds. But that from a sleep point of view is the best type of sound to use to help a child transition without them having this sort of full awakening in between their sleep cycles and their brain starting to get active straight away.
Okay, 81869 is the text. Email nihal@bbc.co.uk or give us a call. The phone number is 08459 440 445. As you've heard, Marianne Taylor is most definitely a child sleep expert. So if there's any advice that you need about getting your little one to sleep, male or female, age, up to what age?
Up to seven.
Up to seven. Then please do get in contact with us right now here on the BBC Asia Network. भर दो झोली मेरी या मोहम्मद लौट कर मैं न जाऊंगा खाली
भर दो झोली मेरी या मोहम्मद लौट कर मैं न जाऊंगा खाली
बंद थी दो में भर डाले आंसू सिल दिए मैंने दर्दों को दिल में तलक तू बना दे ना बिगड़ी दर्ज तेरे न जाए जवानी
मैं
जाऊंगा खाली
जब तलक तू बना दे ना दिल की दर्ज तेरे न जाए जवानी कर मैं न जाऊंगा खाली
Women really is a celebration of women who have got really inspirational stories to tell.
My parents were always like, oh, you could be a doctor, a dentist. Yeah. When we went into beauty, it was like, oh, you're a beautician, okay.
We look at their lives, what motivates them, what inspires them, all things that affect women.
I just think far too many girls nowadays are leading desperate and joyless lives.
And in all honesty, we talk about anything and everything on Fabulous Women.
On behalf of the female race, yay!
And on the panel this month, I was joined by eyebrow entrepreneur Neelam Holmes Patel, author and journalist Suzanne Verdi, and the award-winning Shibby Jervis. Catch up now at the BBC Asian Network website.
That's two adverts now. That's one in each hour. Have we got one in the third hour as well? I'm not hating. I'm just saying, if I record one on my phone and just email it to Noreen's team, do you think she'll just play it out? I mean, she's going, hello, Neil Harley, once a month. Me and a couple of fellas get together. We're not fabulous, but we do get together and we talk about man stuff, which, quite frankly, I think is very important because men don't talk enough about emotions. And we do that once a month on my show. So there you go. Last Friday of the month in the second hour, Nihal's men's time of the month. That's what we call it. And men come in and we have a conversation. Sometimes quite emotional ones. Sometimes we hop on the banter bus. But there you go. Is someone going to do that for me? That's two. Wow. I'm feeling like I'm being parred off by the people that control that kind of advertising stuff. Do we ever get adverts for this show? I don't know. What do we do? Or do we just not do stuff that's worth advertising outside of the time we're actually on air? I shall find out. Right, it's 26 minutes past 7. Thank you for listening, by the way. With or without adverts, thank you for listening to the phone-in show here on the BBC Asian Network. I am here with our sleep expert, who's always worth advertising, Marianne Taylor. And lots of questions coming in for you, Marianne. Great show as always. I'm in need of advice from your sleep expert, Marianne. We have been trying to get our 7-year-old daughter to move into her own bedroom for months now, but she just refuses to and will sit up crying. She keeps saying, I'm scared to sleep in the room on my own, and she keeps getting up after an hour or two back to her older sister's bedroom. She helped decorate it and decided the colours and the thinking that she would be happy to move in. But it's been 4 months now and still not fully moved in yet. She just sits awake crying and will not sleep in the room. Any suggestions and advice is appreciated. That's from Ahmed, who's in Skipton in West Yorkshire.
Right, that sounds tough. Yeah. Yes, I do have a few suggestions. First of all, I would try and encourage her to have some time in her room during the day when it's not about sleep. So when she's back home from school, have her play a little bit in her room with bring some of her toys, some of her books, and let her spend some time there during the day in order to build a more of a positive association for her with her room. I would also suggest you think about doing some kind of sleep training technique, such as a process called the gradual retreat, which is where you sit initially in the room when she goes to sleep at bedtime, and then when she wakes during the night, you go and sit back in the room until she falls asleep each time. So each time you go into the room and sit with her, to encourage her to stay in her room rather than her leave the room. And as she gains more confidence at being able to settle independently in her room, you start moving yourself out of the room.
Okay. Good advice. Hi, Nihal. My child's sleep issue is my son is currently 3.5. He has been sleeping in his own room since he was 6 months. So far, so good. However, since last year, he sleeps with me. He refuses to sleep in his own bed. He insists on sleeping with me in my bed. I've tried many tactics. No prevail. Only sleepless nights. Now, I'm sure if you've got a pound for every time you've heard this story.
Yeah, we know how that one goes. It's It's also not an easy one, and in the middle of the night when your child is screaming at you and you want the quickest way back, and I know this myself, I've got a little 4-year-old who sometimes wakes up during the night, so you naturally do the quickest thing that you can do to try and get them to go back to sleep. However, you are setting some kind of habit by always allowing them to do what it is, which ultimately they're always going to choose to come into your bed rather than sleep in their own bed. So it is about setting up the boundaries, and it is about making it clear of what the rules are for bedtime and for nighttime. So also, same applies, a system whereby you always go to your child when they wake during the night and you sit in their room by encouraging them to fall asleep back in their bed, but by you being there as part of it to give them the confidence of being able to do it in their bed. And that's the main, I would say, the main take-home message with both of those cases, in that you go to them rather than them come to you.
Right. Okay. I remember that well. Blackout blinds. I would love to have them for my boy, but I'm petrified he will play and then strangle himself with them. He's 6 and a live wire. Am I being overly paranoid?
Dangling cords, never a good idea in a child's room. You can get ones that suction onto the window, which are very, very effective, because they also, there's always that issue with blackout blinds or blackout curtains where there's always that chink around the side. And even a chink around the side, as I said to you before, can be enough to do it, to wake your child fully. So actually, I would recommend those blackout blinds. I think they're all over the place. Go onto Amazon. And that solves the hanging cord issue. But I would never recommend any kind of hanging cord in a child's room.
My daughter is 11 and some nights keep waking up many times at night, find it difficult to go back to sleep. She has a habit of reading a book before she sleeps. But what can help her get back to sleep when she wakes up many times in the middle of the night? It depends what book she's reading. Right?
Yes, there's probably that. Mm. 11 years of age can be tricky with other issues affecting sleep. Again, I have a 12-year-old.
We're moving into adolescence being an issue?
Yes, absolutely. Changes. Lots of changes going on and transition from primary to secondary school about to happen. And that can cause all sorts of issues and anxiety in a child, even when they're not spoken about. A very solid bedtime routine is really important. Slightly different than a toddler's bedtime routine, in that you want to give them some sort of independence and control over their own bedtime. But setting the limits still is still important at this point, so that they need to have achieved certain things by certain times, and making sure that they do have enough of a wind down time before bed, not involving TV, computer, phones, whatever it is, because that can really disturb the whole settling process and wind down process, and can only just often serves to just increase anxiety rather than make this the calm wind down time that a child needs it.
81869 is the text. You can also email nihal@bbc.co.uk. Give us a call and please tell us what your issue is when it comes to child sleep. We have our expert, Marianne Taylor, here for you. 08459 440 445 is the number as well.
Fight the battle.
So our child sleep expert, Marianne Taylor, is here and the questions are coming in. Jasvinda has said, my son has just turned 8 years old. I always put him to bed at 7:30 or 8 at the latest, but he would always find some excuse to get up and walk around. He will say he's hungry or needs a drink and walk in and out of my room. Then he will say he wants to sleep in my bed or will say that he just can't sleep or has a bellyache. Jasvinda, maybe your son and my son are having some kind of conversation, because this is an identical experience, Jasvinda, to the one that I'm currently going through with the wife. Sometimes it's gone 11 p.m. by the time he sleeps. Not sure what I can do. You see, I mean, the problem is that their schoolwork will suffer because of this.
Yeah,
they can't concentrate on that little amount of sleep, can they?
What happens in the morning? Do you need to wake him up in the morning? Drag him out of bed in the morning? That's
yeah,
the question.
I mean, short of buying cattle prods, yeah. I mean, it is really tough to get my son out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, definitely.
And I can imagine for Jasvinda as well. So what can Jasvinda do?
So, first of all, I would be looking at the process of winding down to sleep at bedtime. Is he having enough of a wind down time, whether it's a bath and then into his room, and sort of the lead up to bedtime being enough of a wind down time for him, lying in his bed, reading or whatever it is, maybe listening to an audiobook, which is also quite a nice relaxing way of winding down, especially for children who aren't big readers. And really, the main issue would be about setting up very clear boundaries. And at this age, it's about setting the scene. So it's about explaining to them how this is going to work and really sticking to your guns and sticking to the boundaries. So sort of giving them a step-by-step process. This is how bedtime is going to work. And you tell them at 6 o'clock, this is going to happen. And you have dinner and then you have a bath and then you get into your room and then you get ready for bed. And then I will come and say goodnight and so on and so forth. But it is about setting up those boundaries and really sticking with the boundaries. So not buying into this, which almost fuels it to some degree, where I want a drink. OK, here's a drink. I want this. OK, here's this. And sort of just builds it up and fuels it. So it is it needs to be that the boundaries are very clear. If there is an anxiety issue, or he's saying that he's worried and he's anxious about whatever it is the next day or about schoolwork, then perhaps some kind of process involving reassurance. So saying that you will be sitting outside his room and you will stay there until he falls asleep. And if you are setting up that system, you need to follow it through. So don't do a situation where you've said that you'll sit outside his room and then disappear, which just, again, builds on all the issues that you're trying to work on.
So you just have to nip all of this in the bud. There is no acquiescent to any of these demands.
But it's possibly at this stage, it's at this age also, it's about working with your child, because they're old enough to be part of this process. And in some ways, there is a bit of a sort of transfer of ownership of, I can't get to sleep, so you need to do X, Y or Z for that to happen. And that isn't the case at this stage. At this stage, they need to take ownership of it. So they need to be part of this process. So you can sit down with your child and have a discussion on a semi-grown up level to say, well, how do you think this will work? Let's talk through your bedtime and you tell me, and let's write it all down and chart it so it's quite formal, and stick to it. But you need to stick to it. And the boundary is clear of from 7:30 or whatever time you decide is right for your child, that this is what happens. And if he tries with the water and the this and the that, you don't buy into that. You just don't buy into it and say, no, this is the situation. And you just keep your boundary very clear.
81869 is the text number. You can email Nihal at bbc.co.uk. I mean, a lot of this, Marianne, is if you are the kind of person who's not very patient, you are going to have a whole lot of trouble, because there is no quick fix to this, is there?
There isn't a quick fix. I wish there was, but there isn't. And it is about sort of having a mindset of, OK, there are sleep issues at play here, and it is something that I will be tackling and tackling head on. So often I get calls from people who say, look, I've tried everything. I've tried a bit of this and a bit of that, a bit of this. And therein often lies the problem, in that you've tried too many different things. But it is so much about a parent deciding wholeheartedly, my child has a sleep issue, whatever that may be, and I will be tackling it head on and doing and just carrying on through with it. And it is so much about the consistency of it for your child to understand that this is what happens and this is the only thing that happens, rather than different things happening and your child objecting and then saying, OK, whatever you decide is fine. But being very consistent with what you decide. And that is the way to get a successful, to come up with a successful outcome.
this from a sleep-deprived first-time mum in Southall. My six-month-old gets up every few hours over the night to feed and has regressed since. He also does not sleep on his own unless rocked. He has a lot of trapped wind, so has ended up having to rock him to sleep. If we put him down on his back, he gets up straight away, but he's fine if we put him on his stomach or side. As well as awful night sleep, he does not nap during the day. Any help will be more than welcome from, as I said, this sleep-deprived first-time mum in South.
Oh, that sounds very sleep-deprived and very tough, especially as a first-time mum.
Yeah.
It does sound, just without knowing many of the details, it does sound that perhaps there might be something else at play from a digestive point of view, that if there's a lot of trapped wind and when you put the baby down their back, that that's uncomfortable. So it may be worth just bringing the baby to a doctor and getting them checked out. If there's a little bit of reflux going on there, that can be enough to cause a lot of sleep issues in that. They're just it's uncomfortable for them, and medication can often help with that reflux medication. So it's certainly worth checking out that avenue. At 6 months, I'd also be looking at the solids situation. So you would be starting to work on introducing solids, which can also help if there is some kind of digestive problem there, that starting to build on solids can help with that. So that it may be that you want to be looking at that and introducing and starting to increase the baby's solid intake as well. And it is also just about weaning off what your child is reliant on for sleep, which involves you, which at the moment it's rocking. So rocking to help your baby wind down a little bit, but not rocking till they're fully asleep is what you want to try and aim towards. It's something that you can do gradually. You don't need to just put the baby down wide awake for them to just scream incessantly. But it is about helping the baby and starting to get to a point where your baby is learning how to sleep a little bit more independently without you doing it all for them.
Okay. Thank you. 43 minutes past 11. As I said, 81869 is the text number. You can email nihal@bbc.co.uk. As you heard from our first-time sleep-deprived mum in Southall, if that is also your issue, please get your questions in, as I said, 81869. Or you can call us. 08459 440 445 is the number. Parvinder in Bristol did exactly that. Good morning, Parvinder.
Good morning, Nihal. Nihal, I have a question to your guest doctor.
Yes, Marianne, daughter. Yes. Marianne Taylor.
Marianne, yes. My daughter, she is 2 years and 4 months old.
Mm.
When she born, she was very cute. We did a big mistake. We let her sleep within our bed.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And now she don't sleep without our bed. She sleep with us. When she sleep, she hold our ear all night. When we move, she move with us. And we can't sleep, or she can't sleep, continues 1 hour in throughout the night. We don't know what we have to do. We put our bed next to us. She just go in the bed. She sleep there 5 minutes. She come with us again. When she wake up in the morning, she's very happy, very fresh, and we are very tired. My wife work in the morning shift. I work in the night shift. We don't know what we have to do. We do all our best possibilities. But in the day, sleep very good.
Right, Marianne, let's get some advice.
Yeah. So when you say she sleeps well during the day, is she sleeping in her own bed? Is she having a nap in her own bed during the day?
No, I have to sleep with her.
During the day?
When I sleep with her 5 minute time, when she sleep, when she snore, I go away. And then she don't wake up. She know nobody with her, even she sleep. But in the night, no chance. We can't go even a wee.
Okay. And does she have her own room? With her in her own room?
She has her own bed. We just put 2 months ago next to our bed. We said we will try if she sleep in her own bed. Then we move in her own room. But still she don't sleep in her own bed.
Okay. I would... If you are deciding that you want to tackle this full on, and you feel like this is something that you need to work on, then I would move her bed back into her room. I would try and encourage her to have some time spent playing in her room during the day to try and build a positive connection with her room, with her bed. So it is more conducive for her to sort of her room, her space, her bed. And then I would set up a system involving you initially maybe sleeping in her room for a few nights with her in her bed with you. I would possibly bring in a mattress into her room and have a few nights where you're sleeping in her room, where she's on her bed and you're on a mattress in her room. Because even that is a good sort of interim step and an interim transition, that she's waking up in her bed in her own room. Even if you're in there initially, that's a good first step. And then moving on from there is where you would set up a system where you start gradually moving yourself out of the equation. But once she gets a little bit more used to being in the environment of her room and waking up in the morning in her room, then you can move on from there. But as I said before, the consistency is so important in this case, that you don't have a situation where you start that process and she gets upset and she gets annoyed and then you cave in and you bring her back in, because then it just makes the whole process much, much harder all round. So you do want to be very clear in your mind that this is something that you want to tackle and tackle it head on.
You know what we do this thing. What she says, mommy or papa sleep in her bed, and she run and move and come to her bed again. We did so many times, we did it, but she don't.
Yeah.
And we are so worried, she don't sleep all night. She just move in the bed all around. And I have never seen, I have other daughter, she's 13 years old.
Yeah.
But this one, when she sleep, even in the dark, she hold my ear. I haven't seen this thing.
She holds your ear?
She hold my ear. She hold my wife's ear, even doesn't matter how dark. Her hand just comes on her ear.
That's very comfortable for you. Does she have a comforter? Does she have a soft toy or a blanket that she can use as a comforter rather than your ear? Rather than cutting off your ear to give it to her, does she have something else that might
be... That would be an extreme solution.
She don't let me move or my wife move. She's very clever. We put our shirt. We say maybe she got some smell. She think mom or pop sleeping with her. But doesn't work anything.
But at the moment, she knows that works. So she knows that if you say to her, if she says to you, don't move, you won't move. Yeah. So it is about making it clear what the boundaries are from your point of view. And you set the scene and you say to her, no, this is what's going to happen. So we will stay here and we will be with you until you fall asleep, and we'll spend the next two nights with you in your room. But it is about setting up the boundary and being very clear for that, so she doesn't get to a situation where she calls the shots.
Okay, we'll try our best. Thank you for your
good
advice.
Luck.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. You, no worries, Pervinda. Anonymous texter said, my 20-month-old son demands his mum to put him to sleep via nursing. If it's any other way, he gets hysterical and cries to the point of vomiting, which is quite disturbing for us to deal with. I can put him to sleep, but he has to be very tired if it's past 9 p.m. He also wakes during the night and again demands to be nursed to sleep. Please keep this anonymous. Many thanks.
That's a tough one, and also a common one. So don't feel that you're on your own by any means. Nursing to sleep is at this, certainly at this stage, it isn't about the food, the nutrition. It is about the comfort. So there's an element of trying to transfer that comfort to something else, be it, I don't know if your baby has a dummy or not, or a comforter. And I do think a comforter is a very helpful tool when you're trying to help your baby sleep a little bit more independently. So a soft blanket or a favorite soft toy to try and for them to shift their comfort onto something else which isn't ideally attached to you, like an ear or a breast. So in terms of the actual weaning off the feeding to sleep, this is a process that you can either do gradually, where you start by reducing the amount of time that you're feeding. So if you're feeding at bedtime, that you do a little bit less. So if you're feeding for 10 minutes, you do 8 minutes, and then you do two nights of 6 minutes and 5 minutes. And it does mean that your baby won't necessarily be fully asleep by the time they go down. But it is a process of then finding some different approach. So be it that you stand and you pat your baby a little bit until they're a little bit more drowsy. Or if you want to pick the baby up until they're calmer and put them back down, and use this in order to help the baby fall asleep rather than feeding them till they're fully asleep. Or you can go cold turkey, where you just stop the feed. So you feed, then you break up that sort of the association with going straight into their cot after the feed by introducing a bedtime story after the feed. This is also, at this stage, it is an important part of a bedtime routine that you want to build on, whereas as you get older, a bedtime story becomes a very crucial part of a bedtime routine. But it's also, in this situation, it's a good way of separating the feeding and going into the cot fully asleep. So you do the feed and then you do a story and put the baby down when they're not fully asleep after the story. And possibly if you have somebody else that can do that, because the baby has a very clear association with you of feeding and using that feed in order to get to sleep. So in some ways it is often easier for somebody else to do that initially, so it's not the same kind of association, to make it easier.
81869, as I said, is the text number. You can also email nihal@bbc.co.uk. We only have Marianne Taylor for another few minutes or so, so please get your sleep-related questions into us here at the BBC Asian Network. As I said, 81869 is the text.
तुमने कांधे पे सर झुकाया जब जैसे दरगाह पे बांधे धागे तब बिना मांगे ही मिल गया है सब मेहरबान हुआ हुआ मेहरबान हुआ हुआ मेहरबान हुआ मेहरबान हुआ मेहरबान रंग रंगिया यू मलंग लाल लाल रंग रूह की पतंग बांधी तेर संग तब ही तो लगा मेहरबान हुआ रब ओ दिन ये सहरे सा सजा मेहरबान हुआ रब सबको
पर कौन बताए रब को मर के तू पे हम सांस लेते हैं
रब से करो जब आए अब ये तुझी तक जाए तो जो सुन ले तो सुनता है रब है
जाने ना जहां जाने है कहां मिली थी मेरी तेरी हमें हाँ
सच है यही कुछ सा कहीं नहीं है नहीं
मेरी राहें आए तुझ तक इस जन्म से हर जन्म तक वक्त को रोके आ जरा सा उसको समझा दे इश्क का मतलब छोड़ के जिद ये मान लेगा
मेहरबान
Okay, I'm here with Marianne Taylor. We have about 3 minutes left of her valuable time, so let's get on with it. My 18-month baby wakes up 2 a.m. every day. Sorry, if you're just joining us, you're wondering who Marianne Taylor is. Well, she is a sleep expert for children, a child sleep expert, I should say. So, here we go. My 18-month baby wakes up 2 a.m. every day. I try to put him back in his cot, but he doesn't settle. Why is this happening all of a sudden? He used to sleep through the night. This has happened for the past 2 weeks. And this is the one of the cruelest things about child sleep, and you've brought this up many times before, Marianne, you can have this amazing stretch at the beginning, and then suddenly...
Yeah, you think you've cracked it.
Well, teething's part of
that, and you think you're the best parent in the world because you've done it.
This isn't so bad.
And then something happens.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, child sleep isn't an exact science.
No.
Children aren't an exact science. So sleep regressions can come for any number of reasons. Are difficult to pinpoint exactly what might, sometimes there are very clear reasons what might be causing it and sometimes not. 2 a.m. wake up. What may be causing it is that for some reason, your child is, when they're transitioning from one sleep cycle to the next, they're having a complete awakening and for whatever reason can't manage to get back into their next sleep cycle. And I think an element of looking at what may be causing it is what happens, how do you deal with this wake up?
Yeah.
So is there an element of you fueling it in that when they wake up at this time, you just bring them straight into your bed, which is happens the first time, the second time, the third time, and then that becomes the next habit.
Yeah.
Is there an element of at bedtime they're not fully able to settle themselves? So if you need to do a lot in order to get them to sleep at bedtime, then they will need those same conditions in place when they're waking in between their sleep cycles, which is another very common reason. If it's an exact time. So if you find that it is at 2 a.m., then there is a technique called wake to sleep. It's slightly painful from a parent's point of view in that it involves you getting to your child before they wake at this time. So at around maybe 20 minutes, half an hour before they're due to wake. So 1:30 a.m. I know that sounds slightly painful. However, it's a means to an end. And what you do is you sort of jiggle your child a little bit. So you don't waken them fully, but what you do is you shift them a little bit. And what this does is it can then shift them straight into their next sleep cycle without a full awakening. So you're just playing with the sleep cycle slightly, because if they are a little bit stuck at that 2 a.m., then just shifting the sleep cycles slightly can help with helping them transition straight back into their next sleep cycle. You need to do this for at least a week or so. So you can't just assess it based on one go. So try it for a few nights.
Lastly, and we've only got, I don't think we've even got time for Gurge. I'm very sorry, but actually, do you know what? I might try and, we haven't even got time to carry this over, have we? I'm really sorry, Gurge, but you should have got your text in a bit earlier. You understand it at 11:47. Hopefully next time when Marianne comes on, we can get you on. Marianne, thank you very much
indeed.
Thanks
for having me.
The sound of Asian Britain on digital TV, online, and on your mobile. This is BBC Asian Network.
But one thing I could suggest, Gurge, is if you're on Twitter, go to Charles.